Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to a very special edition of The Brew Ha Ha. It's special because it's a release day, and please welcome to The Brew Ha Ha our good friend, Prof D.
What's up?
What's up to you?
Exciting day here, I'll tell you what.
I know, and I ran my ass down to New York City for you to go to Other Music, and they only had 4 copies of the Lee Majors Come Again 7-inch, and because they got so little, you had to buy a copy of Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, and at the end of the workday, they would raffle off the 4 copies.
Well, my only hope is that it is the exact same version that came packaged golden ticket style in copies of the deluxe Check Your Head vinyl box set, you know, brouhaha.
I'm hoping.
I have that one already, so.
Hey, I'm hoping. You know what? And the clerk wouldn't show it to me. I said, just show it to me. He's like, well, it's in the back somewhere. I can't get it. And I'm like, well, what's it look like? And he said there was nothing fancy on the cover. So I'm assuming it's the same one.
And see, I hear your description, and it fills me with hope that it is the same thing, because
right.
It saves me from having to go track down another copy from some eBay douchebag.
Wow!
Sell it for, you know, much more than it's worth.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's the first time douchebag has ever been used on the brouhaha. I believe. But you know what? We should quit talking about this, because unless you're a serious collector, you don't give a crap about the Lee Majors Come Again 7-inch. You care about Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
Yeah.
An odd release day, because on the last episode of the Brouhaha, I was telling everyone what I would do on Beastie Boys release days, and I would always have the album in hand. I don't have the album in hand today, but I've heard the album several times. And I know
album in hand.
What? Wait, you have the hard copy?
I do. What? I didn't tell you this.
Oh.
But I found out, like, midway through today that Best Buy was having an exclusive deluxe version of the album. And so I had to go out to Best Buy after I was done at work and pick up a copy of that.
Okay. Well, but let me just say, usually in the past, we already have the album. We would do the midnight. Remember the midnight sale for Hello Nasty?
Hello Nasty. It was great. We were breakdancing on the cardboard.
I know. We had quite the party going on. I think I did midnight sale. Well, I know I did midnight sale for 2 of the 5 Boroughs. I might have done midnight sale for the mix up. Ill Communication, I was there 9 a.m. in the morning. And those are the only release days that I celebrated the release days. Before that, it was years after, or weeks after, or months after.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, although I don't think, did they have a midnight sale anywhere for the mix-up? Anybody get excited for that, really?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, of course.
But is it really?
No, but the thing is, there aren't record stores anymore.
Yeah, you can't wait outside at, like, Target.
No, right, you can't wait outside of Target or Best Buy. And I know there are, like, some mom-and-pa record stores out there, but for the most part, record stores are dead. Like, for instance, if I needed to buy someone a gift, I couldn't buy them a CD in New York City. I would have to do it on Amazon, and I'd have to hope it'd get here in, like,
really?
3 or 4. Yeah.
There's no record stores
no,
in New York?
No, there are record stores, but they're not easy to get to. It would take effort. And it would cost $7 or $8 more than it does on iTunes.
Wow.
All right, but you, once again, I'm telling you what, this episode getting off to a poor start. We got a brand new...
We're getting off on tangents already here.
I know. We. What's wrong with us? We're talking about Rare 7 Inches and the record business. We should be talking about the brand new album, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. We will talk a lot about it because on today's episode, me and the professor, we are going to do audio commentary throughout the entire album. This may be a great episode or a horrible episode.
It'll go one way or the other.
It always does. So quickly, because we're going to talk a lot, we're going to talk for 40 plus minutes. Initial thoughts on Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
I really like it. I really do. I mean, overall, I think it's much more of an album than like To the Five Boroughs was. I think, you know, just this, I've been listening to it obviously like in full a lot over the past week, and it just really goes well, you know, as a full entity, right? I mean, there's strong, you know, potential singles, really good individual songs, but I think it really works well as an album, which, okay, you know, this day and age, I think a lot of people, you know, get so single-minded that they forget about the concept of an album and what that means.
Well, yeah, I hate to tell you, Prof, but the album is almost dead too.
Yeah, I know.
But a solid effort from the Beastie Boys. I can be critical of the Beastie Boys. It seems like I say that every episode, but I am thoroughly impressed by Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. Love it as an album, and I hate people are like, "Well, how do you rank it, Jim?" And I'm like, "It's too soon to rank it. I've only been listening to it for like a week and a half now, so I can't rate them. You know, I can't do that. I can't rank, you know, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 against To the Five Boroughs. It's just too early to do that." But
yeah, I mean, it's like if you had six kids and then you had another kid, he's a week old. How does this kid rank? You don't know.
Yeah,
what has he done with his life yet? You don't know.
So give it time to grow. We'll see what singles the Beastie Boys release. We'll see what videos they release. But all in all, I am a happy camper. And let me just say one thing before we go into the audio commentary. A lot of people ordered the deluxe edition. Maybe they didn't get it yet. They're furious. And I've seen this comment a couple times. It's 2011. Why do we need, you know, why can't we just get a code from email? And let me just say this, it's a double-edged sword. Because in 1994, kids, we didn't listen to Ill Communication 2 weeks before it came out. So it's a blessing and a curse. The world of the internet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's disappointing for sure. But, you know, if you really think about it, I mean, the boys streamed the entire album, you know, a week ago, right? So if you, and left it up there. So if you really wanted to listen to the album, go ahead. You know, they were streaming, you know, the dirty version when the clean version leaked, you know, so if people wanted to hear it, you could hear it.
Right.
You know, maybe not as convenient as like pop it on your iPod and listen to it on the bus or whatever, but it was out there.
It was. And it would have been a huge tragedy if, you know, the deluxe edition people didn't get their copies today and they didn't get to hear it 2 weeks ago. That would have been, you know, an occasion to riot. Murder, riot, fight. Murder, riot, fight. But we got to hear it. So no riots. You'll get it. I'll get it. And I haven't received it yet. I'm excited. Gives me something to look forward to tomorrow. Hopefully. Hopefully I don't get it Thursday.
Or the day after.
Oh, man. Stop. All right. So a couple things I noticed before we go into the audio commentary. We might be talking for another half hour before we get into the album.
Yeah, we gotta save some for the commentary.
Okay, but I'm going to say a couple things that I may not get to say during the album. Did you notice, and I guess I could say this while the album's going, but did you notice that there is only one song, and I'm not counting the interludes like the Lisa Lisa Full Force routine and the Larry routine,
Larry.
Right, and the multilateral nuclear disarmament, but there's only one song on the entire album that the Beastie Boys either don't mention their name or the name of the group. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah, because I know, well,
you delved into the minutiae here. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Because
you should have saved that in your hip, you know, put that in the pocket for the 20 questions.
No, I'm gonna give it out today, and I will tell you what song it is.
Okay.
But not now. Because you know, through the history of the Beastie Boys, they always like to say, yo, Ad Rock, Mike D, MCA, Beastie Boys. They do that in every song except one. And we will find out what that is. And then a bittersweet occasion today, because you know, you got Ad Rock and Mike D, they're doing some press. MCA not doing the press. And the album was supposed to come out 2 years ago. We all know why it didn't come out. MCA is battling cancer. And I realized this today. He's just thinking positive thoughts. He tweaks lyrics in Too Many Rappers and Pop Your Balloon. Both of those lyrics referred to the cousin of death. And he took those out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So I haven't heard the final released version of Pop Your Balloon yet, the bonus tracks.
Yeah, so, because I was listening, I was like, wait a second. Oh, yeah, so MCA, he went in, he changed lyrics, he got rid of those negative thoughts, thinking positively, and he substituted those with, I believe, taking MCs out to both breakfast and brunch. So, something for Beastie Universe to think about. Now, we are going to listen to Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. Hopefully, our audio commentary is entertaining. Are you ready, Professor?
I am ready.
And it's just a miracle I got this going, because my apartment is being painted and renovated, and somehow I found all of the Brouhaha podcast equipment. It is wired in, and we are going to play it right now. So I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, press, and then we're going to press play.
Okay.
And hopefully we're in the ballpark. Same ballpark.
Yeah.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1, play. All right. Track number one, Make Some Noise.
Make Some Noise.
My favorite song on the whole album.
It's definitely up there. You know, it's always, I find myself, like, when a new track comes out, like when the lead single comes out, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm always like, it takes me a while to warm up to it. You know what I mean? And Make Some Noise was, it took a couple listens for me to be like, yeah, this is, they're back. It's
what?
Good.
It took me one.
I'm just telling you the way it is. I think I go in with such super high expectations. Like every time I'm like, this is going to be the best thing I've ever heard. And nothing can, you know, meet those expectations.
Now, if I can cut you off for a second, what do you think of the Beastie Boys recycling that lyric again? Party for your right to fight.
You know, I think it's a very healthy sign. I mean, that they're able to... they went through a long period where they basically ignored that part of their, you know, career.
Right.
Which is really important. I mean, for folks like you and me, like the older fans... That's how we got into them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's still a really great album. I mean, License to Ill is a great album. Say what you will about it, you know. But, I mean, I don't mind it. It's a little homage to say, you know, maybe the way I like to think about it is, you know what? We've made peace with our former self. But I think it's healthy.
Okay. So right now we got the breakdown. Are you also on the breakdown?
I am on the breakdown.
Oh, all right. This is working out swell.
Yeah. Technology, I'll tell you.
Now this, the third verse. I love how MCA breaks down this surgery.
Uh-huh.
Pass me the scalpel. And the dirty part, he cuts off the part of your brain that does the bitching.
Yeah. I always appreciate the fact that they do clean versions. And the way that they sneak in the, or, you know, hide the dirty parts.
Yeah.
It, oftentimes, it's, the clean version is even better than the dirty version.
Now, it seems like for this time, they just either cut it out or did little record scratches. Two of the Five Boroughs was awesome because they went back and they did alternate lyrics.
Or, like, little, like, noises, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, like, to check it out, I like the clean version better than the dirty version.
I'm with you. Oh, they didn't do it their time. Okay, so we're nearing the end of Make Some Noise. Oh, and then, you know, the little instrumental jamming at the end. Nice. And we don't have to talk too much about this song because I think two episodes ago, we broke this song down like a science project.
Yeah, but, I mean, I just think it's a really strong way to start off the album. I mean, just bang, we're back, in your face. And, you know, then once you're high, and you slow it down a little bit. right into nonstop.
Now, it's funny because whenever I saw the titles for the songs, I imagine this to be like a planet rock or something, or a big disco beat. I did not expect it to be kind of like a chill instrumental.
I'm with you there. And, you know, it was funny because I was talking with you earlier, and this is the song that has grown on me the most upon repeated listening.
Well, Rob Sheffield,
I was feeling this song like from the get-go.
Okay, because Rob Sheffield reviewed Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 for Rolling Stone, and his two gotta listen to tracks are Make Some Noise and Nonstop Disco Power Pack. I like this song, but I think it's kind of a transition song, like B-Boys making with the Freak Freak.
Yeah, that's actually a really good, I mean, the thing that I've upon repeated listening, the lyrics are just so strong in this song. Like, I think that it's a lot of just really clever lines, some really good wordplay, you know, and the fact that they slow it down a little bit allows them a little bit more flexibility to, you know, to do that. And it's just it's also an homage to the old school.
Well, this is,
think about, like, you know, Busy Bee and K-Rob and Ramazzi and, you know, all of those guys. I mean, this is just vintage, like, 1981 sound.
Okay, well, see, you say 81 sound, but this, to me, seems perfect on Ill Communication. Like, this could have been an outtake to Ill Communication, and I would have believed you.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where that's, I mean, it definitely would fit in, like you said, with B-Boys making with the Freak Freak, like, into this would be seamless.
Yes.
I mean, just some of the effects and some of the lyrics are definitely, if you go back and listen to, you know, for our true old school heads, like early 80s hip-hop, I mean, you can hear definite, you know, similarities between what they're doing in this song and what, you know, guys like Busy Bee and Treacherous Three and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's just uncanny. So, I mean, I don't know if they intended that. I'd like to think they, you know, they did, knowing them and knowing their respect for, you know, hip-hop and history and music in general, so...
A nice tip of the Kango to the old school.
To the Kango, right. And you know, I could be way off. I mean, they, you know, who knows.
But for those keeping score at home, even on Hot Sauce Committee Part 1, Nonstop Disco Power Pack was going to follow up Make Some Noise. And then they also, OK was going to be next, and then Too Many Rappers. So right now we're still sort of going in that original sequence.
Now, originally, it was what Padlock was going to open up the album.
Yeah, and we will get to that.
We'll hold off on
that. Yo, I've got a lot to say about Tadlock's Glasses, but it was supposed to be Tadlock's Glasses into B-Boys in the Cut, then into Make Some Noise, then into Nonstop Disco Power Pack, followed by OK. I can't wait to talk about OK.
I can't wait either.
And we are 20 seconds away, because when the Beastie Boys, when... You know, when Sasquatch came out and played the boombox on the basketball court, I was working. So you got to hear the album before me. And you said that there was a song that sounded like BS 2000. And this right here, it has to be extra beats from BS 2000. Has to.
You can definitely get a sense of, like, who was the driving force in certain songs.
Yes.
And I have to think that Ad Rock had a big part in this.
Like,
with the, you know, like this part there, like, oh.
But when BS2000 was putting out albums, especially on the second one, I thought to myself, what would it sound like if the Beastie Boys rhymed over a BS2000 song? And now I know the answer.
And the answer is this?
This is it. This is what it would sound like.
Yeah.
And as you know, most of the time, Beastie Boys songs are just kind of random lyrics with the hook. This song is kind of the most thought out, I think, on the entire album.
Oh,
with,
really?
Going with the OK theme, yes. It's a definite song. It has a definite theme going on. Of things that the Beastie Boys are thinking, and they're like, okay, okay. So I like that this song actually has sort of like a theme and a plot, rather than random lyrics and hook. Although I love random Beastie Boys lyrics and hooks.
Yeah, this is the one that, like, the chorus I especially love. I love the vocal effect. You know, again, kind of bringing back the old school. You know, you don't hear the effect used that much, but like back in the day, like Houdini and stuff like that, I mean, they loved the vocoder, and so bringing it back, I just love. I mean, it's just, I also like that it's, I mean, it's a short song. I mean, it's like, you know, not too long, not too short, like just enough, like it's just perfect, you know.
Clocks in at 2:50.
Yeah,
and
that's enough.
Not so much the beat, but just kind of the vibe of the song reminds me of those couple of songs that Ad Rock did on Hello Nasty. The Instant Death. Was it And Me?
Yeah.
And then why am I thinking Song for the Man as well? Just kind of that, you know, that Ad Rock happy-go-lucky vibe.
Yeah.
So right now, When I was listening to the album for the first time, I'm like, I love Make Some Noise, and I'm digging 2 and 3, and then we go to 4, which is Too Many Rappers, the new Reactionaries version of it, and in the context of an album, I get it, but
right.
I still don't think this is like a, you know, the go-to track on the album as I think they originally wanted it to be.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's unfortunate that when it first came out, like the original version, it's odd talking about like when it first came out, like a year and a half ago. you know, I mean, it kind of got a bum rap, quite honestly, from a lot of fans who weren't really feeling it. And, you know, I mean, I guess I can understand that. I mean, I thought it was good.
I
do like the new version better.
Okay.
I mean, it is what it is.
It's a fine album track. I don't like it as a single. I don't like it as a music video choice. And here's what I think happened during the song. They got Nas to be on the track. They're like, all right, well, we got Nas on a track. We have to do something with it. And then the Beastie Boys just tried to cram in too many lyrics. They're like, oh, we got, you know, Nas gets lyrics, Mike D gets lyrics, MCA, like everyone gets lyrics. And the song, it almost goes to 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
That's an eternity in 2011.
Yeah, nope. I mean, especially for the direction that the Beastie Boys have been going. I mean, you look at a lot of the songs, like, I mean, we talked about OK clocking in at 2:50. I mean, even on, you know, To the Five Boroughs, a lot of short songs. Like under 3 minutes, you know, a little bit, you know, some change. And it's the same thing on this album. I mean, I think there's only, three tracks that are more than 4 minutes?
And two
of them just barely.
Yep. Yeah, because.
And two of the three have the guest.
Yeah. And we, yeah, we'll talk about the Santa Gold track. And
yeah.
Then another thing, too, is this is going to make one hell of a remix, though. Like, there's going to be some kid or some DJ, they're just going to get the right combo, and they're going to nail it with the beats.
Yeah.
But I just don't think these kind of, like, organic studio beats necessarily work with Nas on the track.
I thought it was just an odd choice of guests. I mean, if you go back over, like, you know, the career, they have, you know, hardly any guests on any of their albums, which I think is great.
Yeah.
You know, especially in this, you know, hip-hop day and age where, you know, you're lucky to get one track on an album where there's not a guest. You know, it might as well be a compilation album, for God's sake. You know, but, I mean, really, when you look back, I mean, they've had Fizz.
They've
had Tip, you know, on their albums. And then they've done, you know, other guest appearances on other people's albums. But, you know, that's it.
Yeah. See, because when I hear this song, I think back to Get It Together. And the Beastie Boys, the instrumentation almost fit Q-Tip. They're like, all right, we're going to kind of make an instrumental that caters to you. To me, this instrumental doesn't necessarily cater to Nas, especially with the bass breakdown in the middle. And I don't know if we might have missed the breakdown.
Yeah, we were yapping.
But at this point in the song, I'm like, it feels like this is an 8-minute song. And it's not. It's nearly five.
It's only 5 minutes. But, I mean, when the album's only 40-some minutes...
That's true.
I mean, that's a big chunk of the album. You
that's
know
true.
I mean? Percentage-wise.
But I do like that the Beastie Boys listen to their fans, because it is called the new Reactionaries version. So the Beastie Boys are reacting to something, I'm guessing, the fans.
Now, is that... You don't know anything about, like... Because I thought, like, are the new Reactionaries, like, a group that actually remixed this, or, you know...
No, I think they're just reacting to everything the fans were saying.
And when I hear this, it makes me wonder, like, all the tracks that we're hearing now for the first time, what was the original version of these like?
Well, we heard the original, or we think we did.
What of this song?
Yeah. Oh, and quickly before it's over, they busted that out at Bonnaroo. If they would have busted, here's a little something for you at Bonnaroo, people would have went nuts. They would have had a mud fight, but... We'll talk about that when we get to that song. Right now we're at number 5, Say It, Vintage Beastie Boys.
And this is the one, like, I know you always bring up, or you like to think about, like, how would this go down in concert? And I think this is one of these that I think would kill live.
Now, would they go turntables or live instruments?
I think that you could go turntables.
Yeah.
You know, but... In the chorus, you know, getting everybody in the crowd, say it!
Oh.
You know, I think it would just be, just pump everybody up. I mean, I think it would be a real crowd pleaser.
This, to me, when I hear it, I think of looking down the barrel of a gun. But I think of the sort of, almost like the way Past the Mic is structured.
Yeah.
There's a couple, no, you know what, maybe I take that back. There's a difference. It's Long Burn the Fire, I think, is structured like Past the Mic. Oh no, here's my take on this song. Feels like looking down the barrel of a gun. It sounds like an instrumental jam from Check Your Head. And it almost sounds like right after they jammed out on Gratitude, they're like, let's just keep playing, you know, let's keep jamming. Oh, that's nice, but we'll put it on a tape, throw it in the corner. Years later they find it. Oh, let's do a song out of it.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because on your last episode with Money Mike, you know, he had made the claim that they had dusted off some old, you know, jamming sessions to form some of these songs. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that that's really what happened. You know
right.
What I mean?
And I could hear that on a couple songs, but there are some songs I'm like, no way in hell. I'm like, that's
right.
Brand new. But for this, I could see that being on an old tape from the Check Your Head sessions. But yeah, when you're talking about courses, say it!
Just let it out. I mean, I'm bouncing up and down just thinking about it. I mean, you know, it's great.
And I like this too when the bass and guitar drops out. And then it builds up
and
into...
Say it!
And my only complaint about this song, and it was the same complaint about Make Some Noise, I wanted one extra round of refrain.
You love the refrain.
I'm thinking of it, but I'm thinking in a live context, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, like, now I can't listen to Make Some Noise without wanting to hear that extra, you know, extra line, you know, that extra, you know, just repeat the line.
We're thinking of seeing them live, and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, early reports are no time soon.
Real quick, this part right now, I feel like that might have originally been Buncake, but I might be wrong.
It's certainly possible. I mean, it's interesting that that little bit, I mean, it definitely doesn't, it's not the song proper.
Yeah, because Buncake was only 22 seconds, but enough of Buncake. Right now we're into the Bill Harper collection.
Now, who is Bill Harper? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Have you done your homework?
Not yet.
Okay.
Too busy taking in the new album, but the Bill Harper collection is a perfect intro into Don't Play No Game That I Can't Win. You like the song, but you don't like the message.
I do not like the message. I think for, you know, the youth out there, like, I think about, like, you know, so I was playing this album, like, all weekend in my car, and I had my son this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good, you know, it's a clean version, great, you know. But this song came on, and I'm like, yeah, that's not the message I want to impart to my son. Don't play no game that you can't win. What is that? What about, like, if at first you don't succeed, try again. It's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. Come on, man.
Now, regardless of the message, this is a great summertime jam.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. You know, and the only thing is that it's on the border of almost being overcome, like, by Santical. Like, she almost,
bam,
like, outshines them.
You know what?
On this song.
This,
you know what I mean?
You know what this is? It's a Santigold song featuring the Beastie Boys. That's what it is.
That's really, yeah, that's exactly it.
Because I was thinking, like, when I was listening to it, I'm like, there's almost not enough Beastie Boys where they're never going to be able to perform this live unless Santigold's in the house.
Yeah, there's no, you're never going to hear this live.
Unless like, of course, she's there.
Together.
And
right.
This song almost makes me angry because I know that mainstream music is going to totally ignore it. But if mainstream music would just open their freaking minds, this would be the song of the summer.
It, you know, it could be. I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, you know, it's been interesting watching, like, you know, just kind of the mainstream. Anytime a Beastie Boys album comes out, like, how the mainstream reacts. And it seems like there's a pretty strong, you know, positive reaction to, you know, the album and to the Beasties in general.
There is.
You know, this go around.
But can the Beastie Boys and Santigold compete with Katy Perry and Kesha?
You know, what a sad state of affairs we, you know, the sad world we live in, where that is even, you know, a danger, you know, in danger of being a possibility.
Like, why can't this be on pop radio? I don't know. In a perfect world, it would be.
Because pop radio is dead also.
Wow. So the album is dead. What else is dead? Pop
record
radio.
Store
is, oh,
dead.
Record stores, yeah.
Pop radio is dead. The concert industry is dead. Everything's dead.
But we got a brand new Beastie Boys album. 36 years into my life, and they still do it for me.
They still turn me on.
Like, they're still putting out songs that I can put on mixtapes that I consider their best stuff. And you can't say that about bands that have been together for as long as the Beastie Boys have.
You have to wonder a little bit by the fact that they, I mean, this is only their eighth album.
Well, yeah, they like to take their time.
Well, but that they're not oversaturating the market, right? That you always left kind of wanting more.
Yeah, they pace themselves.
Know what I mean? Like, if they would put out an album every 2 years for the past 20 years, would they be as popular, you know, and as successful? And put out the quality that they have, I don't know.
It's a very good, very good hypothetical. And now we go into Pass the Mic 2011, one of my favorite songs on the album, Long Burn the Fire. And I'm going to have to cut you off in the beginning because I have to sing MCA's parts.
All right.
Oh.
Stage is yours.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, and the second verse with Ad-Rock? Oh! I love it! Like, oh. MCA. And this almost reminds me of MCA's rhymes in Professor Booty at the end when he goes off on MC Search.
Yeah. It's definitely like, you know, he got some fire in this song, definitely. Grandmaster Cass.
Yep.
Another shout-out.
Jesus. Hold on. Wait for it. Shark's teeth. Tiger's claws. Ooh, wings like a dragon when I fly above. Oh my goodness. That trio right there, the shark, the tiger, and the dragon. The book is my shield, and the rhyme is my sword. And then Ad-Rock, I mean, could you imagine this live? When Ad-Rock busts into the second verse? Because
And even like right now, you could just see Mixmaster Mike just cutting the hell out of this. Like, you know, I mean, just going crazy.
Because the drums, oh, man. Here we go, verse two. Oh, man. I got the chills, like a Big Mac attacking your gut. Your favorite lyric of the whole album's coming up, right?
Yeah.
I do like the Big Mac attack to the gut line.
I like the shout out to Kenny Rogers Roasted.
Wait. Props, favorite lyrics coming up. Hold up. Oh, man. There it is. The proof is in the pudding.
What the hell does that mean?
The proof is in the pudding, and the pudding's in my pants.
What? You know, it's because they have that lyric, and then there's another lyric. I forget. I don't even remember what song it is, but it's a Mike D lyric, and he talks about having the chocolate fondue in the bathroom. And I'm like, what are these guys doing?
And in the liner notes, it says, this is in reference to the common occurrence of hotels on tour providing Mr. Ad-Rock with a chocolate fondue set by his bath. This is how we roll. And shouting out Operation, a game that we played as children.
I love those two lines, too. My grandma takes on.
And the Taco Bell line's coming up. I was in New York City when the rats were running around in Taco Bell. So I've been in New York long enough where I was there when Beastie Boy references happened.
Well, I love like the fact that the odd words, like Sergio Cecchini. like just sonically, it just sounds like great.
Yes. And we missed it. Sorry, Mike D. Curly locks.
So Mike D was mentioned. He calls out himself in that song. So that is not the one that you're referring to.
Making music for librarians to burly jocks, the rapper Mike D, known for my curly locks.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Funky Donkey.
Just a little, you know.
It's...
I mean, I feel like this is one of the... I mean, it clocks in, what, 157? Just
yeah.
A little...
This is like Electrify. Like, I'm going to dig it some months, and other months I might not listen to it. But I do like it.
I kind of look at this as like the dope little song of this album.
Okay.
Like, you know, 2 minutes, boom, there it is, and boom, off it goes.
I think of it as one of those middle range tracks. Like, it might get played live, like Do It or All Right Here This.
Oh, I love that line.
What was it?
The rear like a fire engine.
Exactly. Instead of rear like a dungeon dragon.
I love Mike D, like, when he makes these odd noises in his lyrics. I just love it.
But you get you get to play on that lyric, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Little scenario.
I go, and then Nicki Minaj does that now, too.
Yeah.
I go, like a dungeon dragon. Now, did we... Oh, see... I don't think it was on Long Burn in the Fire. No. It's coming up.
Okay.
I've got some. And this almost makes me sad. The Larry routine. Come on now. Why did B-Boys in the Cut make the album?
You know, it's funny though because this was left on. I heard to the end of B-Boys in the Cut though.
Yes.
Like, you need it twice, really? Like, what is that?
Yeah, because why did the Beastie Boys always pack their albums full of songs? Why did they go different this time around?
I don't know.
All right. Tadlock's Glasses. This was supposed to open up Hot Sauce Committee Part 1.
Yeah.
I saw some people on the boards. When this song was played on BBC Radio 1, people went nuts. To me...
I think this is my least favorite song on the album.
It's mine too. Because I see it as an opener. But this isn't a song where you're like, oh, dude, Tadlock's Glasses is a jam. Because that's like someone saying, yo, to all the girls from Paul's Boutique, yo, that's the jam, man. Although, yeah. I knew a kid in college, his favorite Beastie Boys song was To All the Girls.
It's not even a song.
I know, this is in the same league as Flo and Prose. I'll listen to it when I'm listening to the album.
I feel like this should have been like the token MCA solo track. Like, you know, we didn't get this time.
Right.
But this would have been, this has the feel, the vibe of the solo MCA track.
But it's funny, when you hear the titles of the songs, like when we heard them years ago, I'm like, oh, this is going to be like an old school jam. They're going to, like, you know, shout out the old bus driver and stuff. It's going to sound like something off of License to Ill. And I was completely wrong.
Yeah. It's all right. I mean, it's, you know, kind of, I feel like this works best to just set up the next part of the album. You know, it's kind of like, all right, take a breather. And then the next track, I mean, it just kicks in high gear.
Now, why did they keep Lee Majors? Why did they keep Lee Majors Come Again? And why did they get rid of Pop Your Balloon and B-Boys in the Cut? And I understand that Lee Majors Come Again. Whew. It's almost like the Beastie Boys are thinking about hardcore again.
You know, I don't know.
It's got that breakdown. It's got that breakdown in it.
Hold that thought, because I have a comment a little bit later on.
Okay. So, bleeps, blops, and then in real life, or in Hot Sauce Committee Part 1, that was supposed to lead into B-Boys in the Cut, but right now we have Lee Majors Come Again.
Which also, you know, seems like it's been out forever.
Yeah. Well, it's been out for a while.
Yeah. And I will say that, I mean, leading up to this, like, I hadn't listened to this song, I guess, in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard it again, like, in the context of the album.
Yes.
I love this song.
Yes.
I love it.
I, for, a year and a half, 2 years, I avoided this song. I probably listened to it like once or twice. I wanted to save myself. And let me tell you what, kids, saving yourself, it's the way to go.
Good golly, Miss Molly, they bring it.
Kind of like Mullet Head, right? Because Mullet Head had lyrics to it, and it was that.
I mean, this is definitely. I mean, you could see this going from this to close. Like they come out for their encore, this right into Sabotage.
Oh.
And close out and show over.
Now, you know, can Ad Rock and MCA rhyme while they're thrashing that hard? Because I know they can do it on like Do It and So What You Want, but when they're like thrashing out, can they rhyme and thrash out simultaneously?
I think they can. I mean, this is the one that, I mean, I'm more worried about Mike D, quite honestly.
Wow. Surf drums.
Is he pulling a Phil Collins back there?
No. Fredo's playing the drums on this song.
Okay.
Fredo in the back, Mike D out front running around. I'm sorry, everyone. We just missed the big surf rock drums, and those were awesome. Hardcore breakdown right now. Oh, man.
This is just Mullet Head all over it.
A little bit of Aglio e Aglio. My wife is calling right now, so if there's a hiccup in my voice, that's what it is. And I love that, too. $6 million man.
Like, where does their mind go to say, you know what, we're going to make this song and name it after Lee Majors? Like, really? Like, like, you know, half of their audience has no idea who Lee Majors is.
But, well, I would say most of their audience, though, we appreciate the old school references.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here. I love it.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I can see Mike D just wandering around the stage at this point.
When did
I love that line?
When? Yeah, the apple bottom jeans.
Love it.
Maybe Mike D takes the whole thing when they play it live.
Wow.
Although that's a lot of words.
Yeah, this is a relatively long song too. I mean, it's, you know, almost 4 minutes. Which for them is that's pretty lengthy.
And I'm glad.
I don't know if Mike can hold himself up for 4 minutes there to do the whole song.
Oh, come on. He's always doing yoga. He can do it.
He's a little guy, man.
And you know what? It's probably going to take me another couple months to get that refrain. You want to buy this? You want to take that? Want to try this? Want to make that? You can't abide this? You want to fake that? Take a look around you.
All right. So here's...
Talk, Professor.
Lateral nuclear disarmament.
Mm-hmm.
So here's where I'm going with this. So
all right.
This is like a little bit out of place.
Whoa.
Because it's the only instrumental track.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand they got a couple words thrown in there, but it's an instrumental.
No, it's an instrumental.
You know, yeah.
Do you think this was left over from the mix-up?
Well... No, I don't think so.
All right, now keep... I'm sorry I broke your train of thought there, so continue.
No. So, here's my question is... So, we clock in at 16 tracks.
Right.
But three of them are, you know, just little skits.
Right.
Right. Little, you know, routines. Right. So, if I threw in one or two more instrumentals and maybe two punk songs on this album... I just think that would have been phenomenal. I mean, this could have been another Check Your Head, Ill Communication, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, like the trilogy. You know, just really showing off the breadth of, you know, and the diversity of what they can do.
All right,
I would have loved to have heard, like, one or two more instrumentals.
Lee Majors Come Again was the first time that they've jumped into that hardcore realm since... Ill Communication. Remote Control, I don't really consider a hardcore song. To me, this instrumental, I actually, after Ill Communication, I feared instrumentals. I'm like, I don't want any more instrumentals. I just want the Beastie Boys to rhyme. But I actually love this instrumental. I think it's perfectly placed. It's sort of a palate cleanser, and it gets you ready for the end of the album.
Oh, how about that?
And the vibe of it just kind of, it fits for me. And if they went another instrumental on this album, it might have got a little long in the tooth. So I love it that there's just one instrumental. It's kind of a transition from Lee. Because how do you go from Lee Majors Come Again to anything? You just got to take a time out.
Yeah.
Sit in the corner there, Prof D. Take a time out.
I guess. I just look at it like, if we bump this up to like 20 tracks, you know.
Well, we could bump it up to 8.
Like 54 minutes. I think that would have been phenomenal. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not, you know, I love what they presented, the way they presented it. I just, you know, what if? That's all.
All right. When you're talking about my favorite tracks on the album, Make Some Noise. This might be number 2. It's either 2 or 3. Here's a little something for ya. Straight up gangsta.
Yeah, which is, you know, if for as strong as it is, you know, I was trying to think about this the other day, is that it's relatively late in the album.
Yeah.
The likelihood of this being a single is pretty low. I haven't gone through, like, you know, what's the furthest into an album that they actually have.
Mike D! I know, well, because if you're thinking of like deep tracks, this may be the greatest deep album track from the Beastie Boys ever. Track number 14, and I may be wrong, I'll have to, you know, check the facts, but 14 and a song this strong, Mike D would say, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it really, really is. But, like, I mean, if you go through, I mean, what they tend to put the singles at the first half of the album.
Well, I'm going to cut you off again. I'm going to cut you off, Prof.
Yeah.
Honest Mike what? Honest Mike D.
Shouting out Mike again. So that wasn't the song.
Oh, I actually forgot.
We're running out of song.
No, I forgot to tell you. We already listened to it.
Oh.
I'll tell you after the album, after we're done listening to the album. Late in the song. Oh, what's the John Sally? Getting sleazy with John Sally in Miami. I'd like to know what's behind that. Did John Sally, did he play for the Heat late in his career? Because I always think of John Sally as a Piston.
You know, you're asking the wrong person.
Or maybe he saw John Sally in Miami.
I defy professional basketball.
All right, now I'm sorry. No, I forgot about the breakdown. I'm going to have to take the chunk of the song when MCA goes into it again. Because I'm a little surprised that he took Mike D's noise. I thought that was Mike D's.
Well,
and MCA's all over it.
Choice. Noise.
Is the lady's choice. Step on that stage with the smoke from dry ice. Twice is noise.
You know, and I can't hear that song or that, you know, the noise. Every time I hear that, I always think of Troy.
Well, for many years, Troy would try to speak like Mike D. He would use the oh my noise. Goodness and the noise.
So, you know, if nothing else, that made me think of Troy. And I haven't seen him in forever, so... That's pleasant, so shout out to Troy.
Yeah, shout out to Troy. Now, Troy, he listened to the album when Sasquatch played it on the boombox, and then he did not listen to it again until today. He went to Best Buy after work, and he's doing it, I guess, the proper way, the
proper.
Old school way.
Proper. As Hammer would say, proper.
Yes. Not crazy about the title of the song, Crazy Ass Shit. It almost sounds like the title of a Limp Bizkit song.
So what does this appear as, I wonder, on, like, the actual clean, nothing, no, you know? What does this appear as?
Oh, yeah, good call. Maybe they'll have to bust out some hyphens and asterisks.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. That makes me wonder, I can't even remember, like, when, on, like, to the five boroughs. you know, how did they?
You're right.
How did that appear on the clean version? I wonder. Did they just asterisk it out?
I could look, but it would take me too long to go through all the drop cloths and paint cans in my apartment.
Oh, I found it.
Oh.
They went with the F asterisk question mark pound symbol.
Ah, all right.
So I guess they would have to do the same thing here.
Right. I guess I'll find out. Well, no, I'm getting the dirty version. Maybe I'll buy the hard copy of the clean version too.
Yeah, I haven't heard that anybody's seen the hard copy of the clean version yet.
Oh.
I'm sure it's coming.
Okay.
But
those little kids in the song, samples or kids that the Beastie Boys know?
I probably somebody they know. I love this, like, with the kids. I always think of you actually.
Oh.
On one of your mixtapes with
Oh, yeah. I used to...
You had little Hannah doing Bubbles.
Who's now a senior in high school.
I know, it's depressing.
So this is, this is it then, Prof.
We're done. We're just kind of winding down.
Although this is nice. I wish they could have developed a song around this, and this would have been the outro to the song. Now, where does Lisa and the Cult Jam figure into all of this?
That's a good question. I'll admit that I'm not the biggest Lisa fan. Maybe I'll leave others to, you know, speak a little bit more eloquently to why that, you know, brings up Lisa and Full Force. I mean, I'm familiar with them, but not, you know, for me, you know, I haven't listened to anything in a long time, so I don't know.
Now, my I'm going into Pop Your Balloon right now. So the album's done. Should I figure?
So,
do you hear Pop Your Balloon in yours?
No, it's not.
Oh, all right.
I haven't downloaded the bonus track yet.
All right. Oh, man.
I've heard them.
Oh, man.
So
this song is so good.
You're off on your own right now.
All right. So I'm going to fade it out after Pop Your Balloon. But in the liner notes, it says, okay, we know that it's Lisa and the Cult Jam, but for those who want to know, the full title of their debut album was Lisa and Cult Jam with Full Force. There is no love lost for Cult Jam, though. And also, FYI and BTW, that record was mastered by Vlado, who mastered this album as well.
Okay.
Philip Zadir? Oh, mastered. All right, not produced. All right, so I don't know if that cleared up any questions.
It cleared it up like mud.
And on Pop Your Balloon, we always heard the edited version. There's some swear words in it.
Some curses.
Yeah, and it's also funny because MCA talks about going into the basement and making counterfeit $20 bills. I'm assuming it's $20 bills. He calls them 20s. And that's edited out in the original version. I think the original version was on a video game. So I guess the suits were so uptight. They're like, you got to edit. We don't want kids counterfeiting money now. Down in the basement mixing up ink. And I got the plates. Yeah, we pressing up 20s by the crate. It's illegal. That's illegal.
They censored that. Really? Wow.
They censored that, yeah.
That's unusual.
Because you'll remember that during Tori's karaoke party two Christmases ago, I performed Pop Your Balloon.
I know. And it was a riveting performance.
Ain't no sunshine when Mike D's gone. Love the shout out to Count Chocula, too, and Pop Your Balloon. And I'm going to fade this out now. And we could go into B-Boys in the Cut, but we will not do that because I might shed a tear. But I don't even know why I'm crying. I mean, I have the song. I guess, you know, when they put this album into the museum many, many years from now, that won't be on the disc or the record.
No.
Whew. So there it is.
Yeah.
Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
Two.
And let's see what time. Oh, we have any, we're approaching an hour right now on the Brouhaha. The song, the only song that doesn't mention either the group The Beastie Boys or Mike D, Ad Rock, and MCA, believe it or not, is Say It.
Really?
Every other song, there's a Mike D, Ad Rock, MCA, B-Boys, or Beastie Boys. So there you go.
Now, have you gone back to other albums and done the similar analysis?
No. Because I think to myself, I'm like, they've been doing this for years, like since their first album, and they continue to do it. And then for this album, I thought, it seems like they're doing it in almost every song. And there's my wife again beeping in. Yeah, I'll give her a call when we're done with this. But overall, super happy with the album. Love the sound of the album. At first, I was a little upset that some of the vocals were kind of distorted and reverby. But once I have the lyric sheet, that's all going to change. As long as I can sing along, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So that's it. I will let you do what you need to do, Prof. You can open up your hard copy now. I'm sorry I kept you from that.
Actually, I don't think I'm going to open it up. I think I'm going to leave it in mint in box.
Okay.
Because it has a Best Buy exclusive sticker, but it's on the outside of the, the cellophane wrapper.
Okay.
And so if I take that off, then I lose that.
Right.
But it came with a t-shirt inside.
Ooh.
With one of the characters.
Ah.
Which is still a mystery. Do you know what that's about?
Nope. We'll have to get Mike Mills on.
Yeah.
I guess they're the Hot Sauce Committee.
I suppose.
And what a committee it is. I guess that's going to do it for this episode of the Brouhaha. We are going to continue to listen to Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 for the remainder of 2011. On future episodes of the Brouhaha, we're trying to get Z-Trip on. Michael Love has hand-delivered him to us.
Wow.
So we're going to get Z-Trip, and Mike Nishida says he can bring us Money Mark, Mario C., and Alfredo. And then, this is big news, me and the professor, either late spring, early summer, we are working on a film project that has something to do with the Beastie Boys. And I guess we should leave it at that, right?
Leave it at that, yeah. Leave them wanting more.
And if someone steals our idea, we are still going to do our idea, how we originally intended to do it. Right, we're just going to do it how we do it. And if people are like, well, you copied off that. I'm like, no. We had this idea a long time ago, but I don't want to say anything right now because I want it to be kind of a surprise. But it's going to be quality, though. Let me tell you that. There.
We hope.
But we will try our best. So, Professor, many thanks for listening to Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 with me on the day that it was released. It's always fun listening to the Beastie Boys with you.
I love experiencing new Beastie things with you. It's always a pleasure to be in the presence of, a fellow fan. Makes it all that much better. So thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I wish I could be in Pittsburgh with you and we could just put it on a boombox and eat pizza and listen to it.
I wish I could be in New York with you and we could blast it in the subway.
So next album release, we should try to be together.
All right, for Hot Sauce Committee Part 1.
Yes, for the release of Part 1, and I don't even know if that'll ever come out. I think that might be a joke. Cheeky. All right, so for Professor D, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yens later.
That's it, that's all there is. Come on.
We're gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Guaranteed we bring the brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha.